Well, amen. Thank you again. I hope you enjoyed the time just to get to fellowship a little bit and give some prayer requests. And then as you go to bed tonight, be praying for those folks that ask you for prayer needs that they have. And tonight I'm going to look back at a subject we were looking at before Thanksgiving. Of course, we had a different service last week because of the Pie and Praise, but we looked before that about communing with God. And I'd like to spend a little time for the next week, so however the Lord leads or allows, maybe a little different because of the holidays here, but about prayer. And this lesson tonight is one that all of us know, so I don't give you anything new, but that all of us struggle with. And it's not that we struggle because it's so hard and we don't know how to do it. We sometimes use that as an excuse. Well, I just don't know if I know how as well as I should. I don't know if I know how to as effectively as I should. But I've always believed this, and I think it's very true, that the biggest hindrance to prayer is that we don't do it. Now, I've taught lessons before, and you've all heard lessons before about the hindrances to prayer, and there are. Of course, the Bible says, where you are iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Then unconfessed sins, of course. And then there's trouble in your marriage. The Bible talks about the husband and wife relationship, and that's the way to get your prayers hindered. And so we understand there are hindrances to prayer, yes. But by far, the greatest reason we don't have prayers answered is because we have unprayed prayers. We just don't do it. And so sometimes I'm afraid that it's because we are not in a spot where we can give as much time as we want to that particular endeavor. Maybe our life is so busy and we don't have the time. So, well, I know that there are some preachers. I talked to a preacher some time ago. He said, well, I don't ever get out until 10 o'clock, I think it was, in the morning. It wasn't that he was lazy, he was not getting up, but he was getting up, but he wasn't ever getting out of the house until then because he spent those first hours in prayer. He said, well, Pastor, I could never do that. You may not be able to do that. He has a ministry and he was doing a lot of stuff. You may not need to. But sometimes we let the fact that we don't have all the time to do it exactly like we think we possibly should, we allow that to keep us from doing it. Well, I was thinking about this as we are getting into this prayer lesson and lessons. We need to breathe. And sometimes we have a little harder time breathing than others. Maybe the air quality is a little poor, or maybe we've got some restrictions or something because of a cold or sinus or something. We need to eat. And sometimes we don't have time to eat like we want to. We don't have time to sit down and really let it go down easy and digest it. But there's not too many times that we go and say, well, I don't have time to eat like I want to, so I'm just not going to eat. There are some times we've done that. We've been too busy. I get it. But most of the time, what do? We just grab it and we go on the way and we'll eat it in the car, we'll eat it somewhere, we'll eat it along the road or along the way. And I thought, here's a couple of things that we have to do. We have to eat, we have to breathe. If you don't do either one of them, you'll die. And so since they're so necessary, then we find a way to get them in. We make it happen. The breathing, it happens on its own, I get that. But we make these things happen. Well, what if we got to where prayer was like that? Maybe I don't have all the time I want to. Maybe I don't have that sweet hour of prayer. Maybe I don't have that sweet hour at all. Maybe I don't have an hour to give. But I can turn the news off, or I can turn whatever I usually listen to off in the car. And I can just say, well, I'm just going to talk to the Lord on my way to work instead of all those other things. Somebody said it like this, a pastor friend of mine, he didn't like TV, he didn't have one. And they said, Pastor, how do you keep up with what's going on in the world? He said, what world are you talking about? He said, I can easily keep up with the spiritual world because it's in the Bible, it's in the Word of God. So maybe it's like, well, I'm not going to listen to what I typically do on the way in. I'm not going to keep up on the news or the weather or whatever it is on talk radio or whatever radio station you typically listen to. I'm just going to shut that off, and at least I got 10 minutes or 15 minutes before I get there. So what I'm saying is, if we would change our outlook and say it's not that I don't have time to do it like I want to, so I just don't do it. Instead, if we had the outlook, I've got to do it. So I'll do it as much as I can if it was like eating or if it was like some other necessary activity. So just a thought there. We're going to look about when to pray. It's, again, not about something you don't know. You already know it. But all of us struggle with it. So It's easy to pray sometimes, or easier, or I should say, when things go wrong, when they have miserable times, when everything's bad. It's sometimes harder on the cheerful days when things are great because things are going so smoothly, but we need to do it on all of the time. And I want to look at the example of Christ, because the example of our Savior shows us how it was His habit, it was His routine to always be communing with the Father. So let's look at it, if we will. Look over in Mark chapter 1, verse number 35. The New Testament, Mark chapter 1. As you find your place in here, we're going to see that Jesus gives us the example to pray in the routine. Pray in everyday routine. Pray in the things that are just not anything special. Pray in the times that it's just ordinary. It's just common. It's just the things that you're supposed to be doing. It's the day-to-day, the grind. Verse number 35 of Mark chapter 1, we're going to find ourselves. This wonderful story teaches us great truths about what Jesus shows us about prayer. I'm going to work our way through this passage because He's going to heal people through here. Verse number 32, and at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. I see, first of all, there's this needy clientele here. I'm all in under point number one here, but this needy clientele, that's what they were bringing. Everybody that was sick, everybody that had diseases, everybody that had devils, all of them, they were bringing them to Jesus Christ. There was a needy group of people. Well, as happens then, it happens now. There was a nosy group of people and a nosy city around, verse number 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. So whenever something like that happens, there was people gathering around, and there's people gathering around now. And I wanted you to know that sometimes we think that's a bad thing, but it can be a good thing when people nose around and see what's going on. If your life is so radically changed and you're having such success in your Christian life, so to speak, as the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, that success, you have that, then there'll be people that come and they gather and look around. There's a nosy city here. But then we see that the Master does His work in verse number 34. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. Of course they knew Him. He was the Creator. He was there when they were there. He was there when they saw Him when He cast them out of heaven. And we see that the Master does His work. But then after all of this, it's just the routine of the day. This was sort of standard operating procedures for Jesus Christ. Then we see in verse number 35... that the Savior communes with the Father. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. We see in Jesus' routine. Now, to us, that would not be routine, casting out devils and healing people, of course. But this was the Lord. This was the routine. This was His standard operating procedures. And so in His routine of things, it was just common for Him to get up the next day and go in the morning, rising up a great while before day. He went out and departed into that solitary place. So Jesus gives us the examples. I think about this, my pastor, Brother Norris, who was a great trainer and mentor to me and still is, we would have people, he and me and some others, we would imitate the way he did things, and just because we honored him so much, and so some of the times you'd catch yourself doing things only because he did them, and that's not wrong. It's not, you've got to figure out who you are, your own self, but I heard this one preacher. He was a younger preacher, and I knew the school that he went to, and I was listening to him preach, and I could just close my eyes and envision that I was listening to his pastor or the leader of that school, because just the way that pastor that taught him coughed and kind of had cleared his throat, this young guy would do the same thing. So we're great imitators oftentimes, which, again, that's not necessarily that healthy all the time, but in this case, it's very healthy, because you can't ever get something from the Lord that's an unhealthy habit to follow. And so Jesus gives us the example. Over in Luke chapter 22, verse number 39, it says, as He was wont, or it just means accustomed to do. And so Jesus was again and again and again going to commune with the Father. Now, here's what I fear the danger in our lives are. We look back over the last 3 months of our lives, and we'll just naturally go to the times when we were pretty strong in our devotion. Devotions is different than devotion. I'm just talking our fervency for the Lord. We'll look back at times and say, well, yeah, I do that. But then what I want to challenge you to tonight, and hopefully it convicts all of us, is to truly look at day by day by day by day. How good am I doing about that continually praying and going to the Lord? Because we don't live from mountaintop to mountaintop necessarily. We ought to live a consistent Christian life where we talk to the Lord and let the Lord talk to us through His Word. And we pray again and again in the everyday routines. I've told you this illustration before, but you have an expensive steakhouse that you like to go to. And you only go maybe once or twice or three times a year for maybe a birthday, an anniversary, and one other occasion. Well, if that's the only thing you eat on those three times a year, you'll starve to death in between there. That's when you thank the Lord for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Because what keeps you alive till you go to the steakhouse the next time? Peanut butter and jelly. You say, I don't like peanut butter and jelly. Well, grilled cheese. I don't like grilled cheese. Well, turkey sandwich. I don't know what keeps you alive, but something less expensive than steak. And so sometimes I think that we want our spiritual life to be lived in a wonderful way from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. But there may only be a few of those mountaintops. And that's not enough to keep us going. And so what I see is that we are supposed to pray in the everyday routine. Gives the example of Jesus Christ shows us what we're supposed to do. He was wont to do this over in Luke chapter 22. That means He was accustomed to it. He would just go to the Father. He would commune. And you say, well, why did He need to do that? He was God Himself. He was. They loved the fellowship of God the Father and the Son. But also another reason was to give us the example of how that we ought to commune with the Father. But I can tell you this, if you do it this way, daily, 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 continue, it just takes a lot of work. It takes diligence. It takes going again and again and again. So if somebody wants to lose 10 pounds and you could do it in 48 hours and everybody would be exactly the weight they want it to be, because almost everybody can have that diligence for 2 days. But since it doesn't take 2 days, it takes a lot of days in there, then it eludes many of us because it took diligence. It took some doing it again and again and again. And as we talk about this thing of prayer, the example of Christ is again and again in a daily routine. So my stressing point to you right now is this. You and I ought to be consistent in our prayers. I told you that sometimes we think, well, I don't have an hour to give in the mornings, and you very well might not. I don't have that dedicated time like that evangelist that you were talking about. That I don't go out of the house until 10 o'clock, and I've spent hours in prayer that morning. You may not have that, but many of you have a ride to work. Many of you have some things you're doing around the house that you can pray while doing that. It's just little piddly stuff. So we ought to have it pray every day in our routine. Number two, though, not only that, we ought to certainly pray. I want you to look over in Luke. You're in Mark. Just turn right another book. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 15, we ought to pray in these desperate times, these times when things are very, very pressure-filled. Now, to say it was pressure-filled to the Lord would be an overstatement, but He certainly gives us the example of how we are supposed to pray in stressful times. In verse number 15 of Luke 5, the Bible says, "But so much the more went there a fame out abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." The image that you get at the time is that it's a little bit more pressure. The leper is cleansed up there in this part, in the verses before, I should say. And then so much the more after that happens in verse number 13 and then 14, he charges the disciple, or the leper rather, to tell him what's supposed to do. And then after that, it's all breaks loose. And so much more, their fame went out. People were just coming everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And then after all that happens, we see that weight of the ministry drives him to do the same thing that he'd always did. Verse number 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He had just healed the leper, getting ready in just a little bit to heal that paralyzed man. They're going to bring him down through the roof. And you remember what the setting was when they had to take him up to the roof. There was a reason why they took him up to the roof, because they couldn't get anywhere around. The press was just so far. Everybody was just jamming in there, just as close as they could get to Christ, so much so they couldn't get that guy into the door. So they took him up the roof and take some toweling off there and let him down. Well, this is the hustle and bustle, and this is all of the stress of everything going on before that event. After healing the leper, when everybody else is coming in, crowding in on Christ, what we would say would be desperate times or busy times. Again, what it bothered the Lord, I know, but what it did to him would be different than what it does to us. But pressure was there. And so we find his example of praying in desperate times. So I said, first of all, we are supposed to pray in the everyday routine. That's what we're supposed to do. Just like it is that you don't go very many days. I've never gone through a day without eating, except when I wanted to for spiritual reasons. I asked my pastor one time, we were going somewhere, and he said, oh, well, we'll get something to eat when we get there. But it took longer to get there than we thought. And then we got there, we had to hurry up and get over, and then we had to go somewhere else. And so I finally asked him, I said, does involuntary fasting count? He said, no, it doesn't work like that. It's like, I've never went through a day without eating except what I wanted to for some fasting spiritual reason. So I eat, so do you. Well, if I had that same fervency about eating that I did about praying, how much more consistent would my prayer life be? If I was just stealing a little bit of time away and away. And now to get something on or get on to us a little bit more sensitive issue, you've got your phone in your pocket, in your purse, wherever it is, ladies. How often are we checking things on it? Checking a social media, checking weather, checking an app, checking this. And so we're diligent about that because we long for that information. We want to. I feel like in our nation, we are world for that matter, we are on information overload. We're just getting it from everywhere and we keep wanting more. Well, if we were as desirous to talk to the Lord as we were about checking whatever apps or websites that we do, I can't imagine what our prayer life would be like. So we ought to do it everyday routine. But then also in our desperate times, when the pressure is coming down on us, do that. And then number three, I could have started with this at the beginning, but I wanted to give it at the end because it really covers the gaps of every other spot. Would you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Such a short verse, but one that tells us how often we ought to be praying. While you're finding your place there, it's so short you'll think, well, I would have known if you just told me those three words. While you're finding your place there, the other one is Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, though, if you're ever at a Bible school and you say, well, you can memorize whatever verses you want. Well, after you get done with John 11:35, Jesus wept. Well, then come to these few verses. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Verse number 17, pray without ceasing. Little four-year-old girl in one of the classes, she was quoting verses, so she thought, and she said, pray without sneezing. I said, well, I said, that's a feat. Yes, that's important. That's good. Pray without sneezing, but better to pray without ceasing. And so we're supposed to be praying in all circumstances, not only in our everyday routine, yes, but then and the desperate times, but just every time. Again, where I started was, what if we treated prayer as important as we did drinking water? What if we treated prayer as important as it was, well, I'm hungry, I'd eat something. What if we longed for it like that? Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean that we keep our eyes closed and we walk around and in a prayer position like that, but that we have an attitude of prayer all the time. Now, there's a couple of different things I want you to remember about this. If you do have an attitude of prayer, you must live your life in such a way that you can get your prayers answered. I told you already, there are hindrances to prayer. The greatest one, I believe, is that we simply don't pray. But there are other hindrances to prayer, our attitude and the sin in our life and things that we haven't confessed to God. Then that breaks that fellowship between us and the Lord. And so if we're going to have this prayer without ceasing, this attitude of prayer all the time, then that will dictate and necessitate that we keep our sins forgiven. We keep them confessed up to God. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So if I truly want to be a pray without ceasing person, and I get mad at you because you didn't let me in the door, or you did something else, or you got my parking spot. I was going somewhere today, and I was coming down through there. That spot was so nice. It was right there, pretty close to the door, and I was getting ready to pull in, and wouldn't you know it, some other person stole it from me. You know what I had to do? Park way down there. It's easy for us to get off track and get ourselves all upset about something that really doesn't matter a bit. But if I'm going to be in an attitude of prayer in all circumstances, if I'm going to be a pray without ceasing kind of Christian, then I can't afford the time to be sideways and be ugly and be bitter and be vindictive and hateful and mad about what somebody did to me back there. I've got to get over it quick. If I let myself get down in the flesh and allow myself to get bitter and ugly and mean and say or think things about them, then I need to confess that to the Lord and get it out there, because if I'm going to have this pray without ceasing kind of attitude, I don't have time to be bitter, ugly, hateful, vengeful, pray without ceasing. And then again, as I already recited for you, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication. I told you that little boy said, when his mom said as he was going out the door, be careful. I can't, Mom. The Bible says don't. The Bible says don't be careful. Well, that's not what it means. It says be worried and be fretful about nothing. But instead of, in place of that fretting, in place of that worrying, one preacher was telling this lady about the need for her to give things over to the Lord. And she was a worrisome person. She just had that tendency, and some of us do more than others. And he said, why don't you just give it to the Lord? She said, I'd like to. I try. And he says, no, you need to give it to the Lord. He's up all night anyways. And true enough, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. And so we ought to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And the Bible goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, that the peace of God would bring that comfort to us. So we'll later talk about why to pray another week, but right now, when to pray. So as you and I live in this biblical command of pray without ceasing, there truly is no time for us not to. And you don't have to confess it to me, but I would challenge you to confess it to the Lord. If you have not been living in an attitude of prayer, if you've not been going throughout your day making often requests of the Lord, making often fellowship with the Lord, making often times that you just commune with Him. And I believe that as we do it more and more, we'll want to do it more and more. And we'll find it harder to neglect it than we do harder to do it, if that makes sense. I think the more that we get involved with praying and communing with the Lord, we'll find it harder to live our days, go throughout our days, I should say, without it. And it won't be the issue of, well, it's just hard for me to do. I think it'll get to a place where it's hard for you not to do it. When to pray. Pray in the everyday routines. Pray in desperate times. But then, honestly, just pray in all circumstances. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you, dear Lord, to help us on this simple little study to commit to you that we would be better at praying. Lord, sometimes because we can't do it all, we don't do any of it. Sometimes, dear Lord, because we can't do it in such a bombastic fashion, then we just neglect it completely. Lord, help us to fix that today. Help us, dear Lord, to commit to you. I want to pray more on my way, as I go around, as I drive, as I walk, as I work. I want to be in this attitude of prayer. If that be the case, then I need to keep my sins on short accounts with you so that my fellowship is not disturbed. Lord, I pray that we would do that. It's so simple, yet it escapes many of us. Help us, I pray, dear Lord, to be those prayers like we should. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be people who are praying without ceasing. I pray that we would truly fulfill the biblical command, but in everything by prayer and supplications, let our requests be made known unto God. Tonight, my friend, I challenge you. You're welcome to come down and pray at the front, but might be just as well you pray right there. Say, Lord, I've neglected you. I've neglected that fellowship with you. I've neglected my time that I should be talking and praying, fellowshipping, communing. But I want to start right now. I have a prayer in my heart. Just commune with you right there, right here where I am, dear Lord. If you're here tonight, then when you have some conversation with the Lord and ask him to help you tomorrow, Lord, help me to commune with you all day long. Help me to have a prayer in my heart. Help me to stay in the attitude of prayer. Help me to pray without ceasing. He'll help you. That's a prayer he'd love to answer. As they continue to pray, here's my last question. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved. I guess I know everybody. But doesn't mean I know your heart. Many a church member have had to come to the realization that, yes, a member or an attender, but not a born-again individual. If you're not sure you're saved tonight, would you just step out and come and let me take the Bible and show you how you can be certain about that? They're going to play one more verse through. If God's put something on your heart and you need to get it dealt with, don't leave this place without following the Lord's lead in your life. Thank you so much. You may look this way. A couple of things. At the beginning of the service or earlier in the service, we had a time when we got some prayer requests from one another. Don't forget those as you go home. Be praying one for another. That's a biblical command, praying one for another, bearing one another's burdens. So be doing that one for another. And then also, as we head out, let's make a difference tomorrow in our prayer time, in our prayer life. And again, your schedule may be so tight that you don't have as much time to dedicate as you want. Well, number one, we'll find time to do the things we want to do, but we can pray along all throughout the day, and I pray that I wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in this room, if we just had an attitude of prayer all day long tomorrow as we're going throughout the things. I tell you one thing, it's hard to bless somebody out if you just got done praying for them. Help us in our relations, that's for sure. And so let's try that tomorrow. Try to put the Bible into practice in our lives. And then if you'd like to go with the Oasis tomorrow, those two spots opened up because of somebody not feeling well. So if you'll see Brother Nathan back in the lobby afterwards, he can give you all of the details about that. And I want to say thank you for being in church tonight. Be praying about all that happens this Christmas season, and be thinking about somebody you can invite to church with you, maybe on that Christmas Eve service, maybe on one of the other events. That cantata is going to be great when the choir, we're going to do it on the evening this year. Instead of the morning, it'll be a great time to invite folks to come on an evening service. So we're looking forward to all that God has for us. So we appreciate you being here. If you're staying together, thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. I almost said, if you're able to, stand together. But if you're not able to, the rest of us are going home. That means you're sitting here. So whether you're able to or not, get up and get out, I guess. So otherwise, we're going to lock the door. I'll see you in the morning. So God bless you. You're dismissed.